I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you information unfiltered, uncensored by the corporate media. And for those who are listening and paying attention, Randy Rhodes is back. She now broadcasts from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. So visit RadioMonterey.com and take a look at the shows and the hosts and the information they're bringing to you. Magic for Life is also the promoter and producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which is coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 29th and 30th. Now, this is a wonderful event. It's around Halloween, one of my favorite holidays, when the veils between the worlds are thinnest, and that means it's time for some fun. Come in costume. Come as who you might have been. Come as who you might become. And come as who you are. But any way you choose to do it, come to the Rhoda Psychic Fair. Go to rhodapsychicfair.com. Sign up for the email list so you can stay informed of the ongoing events. It's like the virtual psychic fair that's going on this weekend, so that you can stay at home in your jammies, call in and get your readings, listen to lectures, and even visit the vendor mall. So visit virtualpsychicfair.com to find out more about that. And also like us on Facebook so that you can be informed about all these ongoing events. Well, here we are on the 12th of July. It's the second week of our new schedule with Good Vibrations Radio. There's so much going on. Here I was thinking I hadn't paid the phone bill, and it turned out that Comcast is having a nationwide outage. Phones are out all over the place. Maybe it's because I didn't pay the phone bill. I don't know. What do I know? But as you know, I do like to start the show with a little day by day with James Allen. And today is the 12th day of the month, and he reminds us that every circumstance has two sides. And it's important that he talks about this. Not only will we have Kirilani with her Go With The Flow, but after that, we're going to have Gina Ross from the International Trauma Institute talking about the trauma and the injuries and what's occurred as a result of what we saw happen in Dallas. So when we look at that, we have to recognize that every circumstance has two sides, as James Allen said. Your difficulty is not contained in the situation which gave rise to it, but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and which you bring to bear upon it. So if you choose to go into the negative, into the dark, into the blackness and stay there, then you're going to bring more blackness to the situation. If you're willing to travel through the blackness to the light and come out and say, I can make this better, I can shift this, I can change this, I can improve this, or I can improve myself, or I can avoid this in the future. All of those things are all the options. And if we're willing to go through it and come out on that side, then we actually reduce the trauma of the situation. And today, Unity shares with us, with a loving heart, I practice non-resistance. And I think that's so terribly important. With people running around saying, we need to arm ourselves and we need to fight back and we need to do this and do that and do the other thing. We need to remember that what we want to emulate is not the fighting back, but we want to emulate nonviolent resistance to things that offend us. We don't want to create violence in reaction to violence. We want to create nonviolence in reaction to injustice. And those police did not deserve to be shot down any more than what we've seen with the Black Lives Matter movement, where black young men and women deserve to be shot down or accosted or treated differently than a white person in a similar situation. But we don't need to fight it with violence. And Black Lives Matter is not advocating violence, by the way. But they are certainly receiving violence. And what occurred to those police was not the result of anything Black Lives Matter had anything to do with. It's the result of somebody taking their trauma inside and turning that trauma into a blackness that they bring back out. Now, that's a little depressing, so let me get off it to just go back to the point. Every circumstance has two sides. And I want to touch on two quick sides today before we go to Kirilani. And one of those sides is that last night at 10:34 p.m. Pacific, Venus went into Leo. So we're starting to make our move out of Cancer as we come to the end of that journey of the sun. And so Tuesday, it's our planet of love, attraction, harmony, and beauty, went into the den of the lion. And Leo is about getting relationships back on track. And so we may feel and even look more attractive and feel better about ourselves. The challenge for us is to avoid acting pompous, self-inflated, needing constant ego reinforcement. That's a big one comes out. So it's a good positive contact as long as we don't run around acting like we're entitled to information or entitled to special treatment. Because as Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men,
I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
So we just need to remember that we treat this as a good, positive time for us right now. And it leads into tomorrow when Mercury goes into Leo. So we've got our planet of communication, mental and verbal ability, Mercury, moving into that bigger than life, have you looked at me lately sign of Leo. And at the same time, our planet of drive, energy, and initiative, Mars, which is in Scorpio, and our planet of change and revolution and originality, and don't tie me down, Uranus, which is in Aries, will create an aspect with Mercury as it enters Leo. And this will happen at 5:47 p.m. Pacific time when Mercury goes into Leo, and 10:13 p.m. when most of us should be tucked into our beds is when this aspect will occur with Mars in Scorpio and Uranus in Aries to Mercury. So we're going to feel a little bit like a bratty teenager that just wants his or her own way and nothing else. And as I said, we may have that feeling of entitlement. Remember, watch your words. This is the time to keep our adult genes operating. We want to remember what Michael Chase from the Kindness School says, am I being kind? Be an adult, not a teenager. And for the rest of this week, try to take a step back, take a breath. Don't spout off from your juvenile need side. Nothing good was going to come of that. And I think it's a good time to remember the four agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. One, be impeccable with your word. Two, don't take anything personally. Three, don't make assumptions. And four, always do your best. Well, that leads us, as we go to do our best, to our segment today, which is with Kirilani. Now, she, known as the Bridge of Light, she's an energetic healer and an expert in vibrational numerology, palmistry, and tarot. And with her background in corporate consulting, leadership, and public service, she is a real-world agent of transformation. She's also an alchemist with essential oils, teas, and colors, and provides custom essential oil blends and hand-dyed silk scarves to create unique fusion consultations to empower your personal vibrations to bring great insights and transformation. And she's with us every Tuesday to provide her unique Go With The Flow segment. So let's listen to Kirilani and Go With The Flow.
Well, thanks, Salazar. And your intro, it becomes interesting given what's happening vibrationally this week. So first of all, let's just kind of level set where we are in the year. We have just kicked off the manifesting part of the year starting on July 1st. And this lasts for the whole last 6 months of the year. It's taking all these seeds and plans and dreams and intentions and realizing them, actualizing them into the world. So it's a time of really a need for action, a need to take the positive steps in each day and each moment. And if you notice, since July 1st, the time seems to have accelerated even further. We see that every year as June shifts into July. It's like reaching the top of a mountain, and now we're heading down the steep incline on the other side of the mountain. Well, when that happens, you just can't put off for tomorrow the things that you really need to do today to keep your plans on track. So procrastination, not your friend, right? This is the time to prioritize and focus your energy so it's going to be aligned with all of those plans and dreams and actions actualizing. So here we have already, we're in the middle of the second week of the month, so we're in the emotional part of the month going into the mental part. So this is where I think it's important to recheck where we are, what year is this? So, and we're going to back up even further to level set. We are in a millennium that's all about communication, relationships, diplomacy, creating connections, creating collaboration, realizing that we are not the center of the universe, we are not the only person on the planet, or that we are not isolated and in separation, that we're all interconnected. So that goes back to what Salazar was talking about with that entitlement kind of spoiled brat energy. If you see that coming up in yourself, do a quick check and say, what's happening with me emotionally right now? What's triggering this? What is triggering this mentally for me? And how can I reframe and let go of whatever those patterns are that are creating these feelings, these actions, these ways of operating in the world for me? Because there's a bit of a Roto-Rooter action going on this year. It's a year to clean out, to graduate and complete. It's to integrate everything that's happened to you up to this point in your life and many past lives. So I've been noticing since the 1st of July a lot of things kicking up that are those old things, and it's the universe saying, are you willing to let this go? So when we're in the emotional week, whether it's reading a book or watching a movie or getting a call from an old friend, those things that we still have in our heart, those places of sorrow, those places of loss, those places of disappointment are likely to get poked to say, how much longer do I want to carry this around in my heart? And I'm willing to be brave enough to open that up and let my spirit wash over it and heal and bathe it with love so that I can be whole and pure and ready to enter into any kind of interactions with another person from an open-hearted place. Because when we create and manifest from that place, from a place of higher trust, from a place of really higher action, we create and manifest so much more wonderful things. We have less friction in the manifestation stage because anywhere where there's a lack of trust, where there's a lack of working toward a common intent, we dissipate energy because it's going in multiple directions. So In this week, the clearer you can be with your communication, with your intentions, as your creations start to unfold, and you are willing to be flexible in revising them based on what's happening in your life today, what conditions have changed from when you created that seed? You know, do you need to water a little bit more in your garden of life than you had planned because it's a little hotter than you planned, right? All these little adjustments take place in this month of July. So as we move from the emotional portion of the week that's going to carry us through tomorrow? Oh my gosh, it's going so fast. Through tomorrow. Tomorrow is this huge day. Think of it as like a universal recycling day for your emotional body to take that sponge and just squeeze out any of those old emotions that you don't want to indulge in expanding any further. So any of that sorrow, any of the loss, any of the shame, any of the humiliation, any of those things, the righteousness, the being offended, the feeling judged, feeling unworthy, feeling unlovable, unlikable, un-this and un-that, right? All the uns, turn them around. Because if you turn un around, it becomes new, right? Not spelled quite right, but new. That gives you your focus to be going in the direction you want to go coming out of this year into a whole new 1 year of 2017. So this is the time of year we need to be a little careful that we don't get caught up in this spin cycle. Because the nine is all about saying, it's asking you at this time of year, have you integrated all that has come before you? Are you complete with all those things? So this is a good time to assess, where are you on completing? How many things have you put off? I know I still have a pile of things. It's going to get harder to get those done if we've been procrastinating because the time's going faster. So get them done now. Once we have completed, then the universe is asking us, are we ready to graduate? Are we ready to move on? Are we ready to go to the next rung of the spiral, to go to the higher level of that lesson, that higher level of living? Now, we have a choice there. We have a vote. If the answer is yes, I am ready to move on into an era of limitlessness where I have left my baggage and all of those things behind me, and I'm willing to co-create with the universe in a totally new and different way. That's one option. The other fork in the road is to say, no, I don't vote to move on. I vote for a limitless amount of what I've had in my life so far. And for some people, that is their vote, right? Some people are out in the world living in a vibrant, joyous, thriving way. I can't say in honesty that I have done that up to this point to the level that I know is possible. So that's our choice, right? If we sign up for an infinite amount of more of the same, then at least you know what you're getting, right? But I'd like to vote for door number two, that limitless potential of jumping open-handed into the void of all possibilities, trusting my soul in the universe, that yes, the world can be a better place, and I'm willing to be the light and love in the world to help create that and transform those things within me that are not of the light and of love. Now, those things that are not are simply our old patterns, because we really all are creations of the fabric of love and light. So that brings us to the mental week of the month, which starts on Thursday. Now, Thursday brings this day of heaven on earth. And that's really where the game's at right now. It's saying, Are we willing to transform those lower level vibrations, those lower level emotions and mental thought forms to what ends up being fifth dimensional energy across third and fourth and fifth to those higher levels of vibration? So if you look at the vibration of joy, it's a higher vibration than the vibration of anger or the vibration of apathy or numbness, right? It's moving incrementally up that spectrum of vibrations, of emotions, of experiences. So Thursday is going to ask you, what's heaven on earth to you? And watch what your mind says about that. And if it says, well, that's not possible, and here is the litany of the reasons why, take each of those things and offer it up to be recycled. Because that energy from tomorrow will carry over, it's a portal around that energy, into Thursday. So take any of those things emotionally and mentally and offer them up and affirm to the universe and your soul that, yes, I am here to live a joyous life. Yes, I am here to thrive. And that's what, you know, to me, what thriving looks like. Make a list of those things. And in each day, say, what can I do to thrive a little bit more? And they can be small things. You know, I realize for me, I spend way too much time inside. So even if that's spending 30 seconds in the morning going outside and breathing fresh air, or even if I don't even get outside, spending 30 seconds just standing, being able to see the sun, because a lot of times during the day I can't see the sun. Those things nourish us. They nourish our soul. They nourish our physical body. They nourish our heart and our minds. Whatever it is for you, just add a little bit more of that into every day. And then as you start seeing the transformations, welcome and celebrate those. As we're in this manifesting part of the year, as something that you had an intention or a desire for earlier in the year, you start seeing that little sprout come out of the ground, celebrate it, water it, nourish it, love it. Because the more we put our focus there, it's like fertilizer. The more, those are the seeds that grow. And there's time now to look at the things that are manifesting, and you may go, well, you know, I have this plan about that, but the world's changed and I've changed a lot and I really don't want to put my energy there. Fine. Cut it off, complete it, finish it, be done with it now. Pull that little plan out of the ground. And it may not be a weed. It just may not be where you want to put your focus. So we're going to talk a lot in the next 6 months about focus, because it's a really essential ingredient to navigating this next couple of months. So here we are, integrate, complete, get yourself pointed in the right direction for where you want to expand, and be able to be in the point to graduate and launch yourself in that direction. That's what we're about right now. So Solazar, that's our go with the flow.
So I just wanted to check, Kira, that we deal with our procrastination tomorrow, right? We don't have to deal with it today. So I wanted to remind folks, when you were talking about tomorrow, as they're releasing that emotional baggage with that Mercury in Leo and the aspect to Mars in Scorpio and Uranus in Aries, again, watch out for their brattiness. Don't release that emotional baggage toward people. But as you were saying, get it out, but don't get it out when everybody else is standing around, so they can see your expression of it.
Well, and it, you know, we all have a little bit of that in me. I mean, I know, and you know, that I have a little bit of this, like, princess thing that kicks in from time to time of, like, oh, how can you bother me with all of these mundane aspects of life, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it when they come up at this point, it's saying, okay, do I really want to be that person in the world? And I think for most of us, if we really ask ourselves that question, the answer is no, I don't. So what is it inside of ourselves? What pattern? What is it, some old thing that is creating those behaviors? And if we can get to kind of that root, the tap root of that weed, and pull that out now and say, old friend, I know you've been with me for a long time, but you're no longer welcome here.
Yeah, I think that that's excellent. I also want to remind folks, since you said Thursday is about heaven on earth, that's also when we'll also have Stephen Heckhouse with us with his divine guidance. So it'll be wonderful to have heaven on earth on the day that he's offering all his beautiful blessings and prayers. So I wanted to remind folks of that. So
and Stephen has beautiful energy. So yeah. If you you want to talk about connecting with and meeting an earth angel, he is one of them walking around in human form, I swear. So. Yeah.
Well, and so do you have any final thoughts you want to share before we go to our guest?
Pretty much that's it. I just want to give everyone my blessings. And, you know, as we go through this time, too, you know, I maybe get a little strident at time of you have to do this, you have to do that. But, you know, July is a time to have fun, too. Get out there and play a little bit. Get out there. You know, I tend to take life far too seriously, and some friends put together a birthday party for us because there's a three of us that have birthdays about the same time this last weekend, and they were going to have a Mad Hatter party. Now, my overly serious, you know, overly task-oriented adult me was like, oh, God, I don't even have a hat, and I don't even like hats because I don't feel like my head can breathe, and no. And I got there, and one of the ladies basically, if you didn't have a hat, she had a hat for you, and she helped us bling out the hats to make them wild and crazy. And one person was dressed up as the Mad Hatter and had down even the thing about you're late for a very important date. And we were all laughing in absolute hilarity like little kids. And it's like we don't let our little kid out to play very often. But actually, when we do that, we're able to actually create and manifest at a higher level because it brings back this lightness of being, and that's part of thriving, right? Of not making everything all so hard, which is one of the things I excel at. So I'm going to be offering up that pattern of mine and that wonderful talent that I've had to be that universal recycling day because maybe it's time that everything was a little easier. Maybe it's time that we can intend it and magic shows up. I'm all for that plan.
Well, so be that. So I want to thank you once again for sharing with us. Let folks know you'll be back again next Tuesday with more Go With The Flow at that time. So they can also hear the replay of this show tomorrow if they missed some of the points that you mentioned. At 5 to 6 p.m., and I'll mention that again at the closing. So thank you again, Kira, for joining us, and many blessings.
Well, blessings to you. Bye-bye.
So we'll now go to our guest for today. We spoke to Gina Ross back in June, and she's the founder and president of the International Trauma Healing Institutes in the United States and in Israel, and co-founder of the Israeli Trauma Center at Herzog Hospital in Jerusalem. And Gina, we'd like to welcome you back to Good Vibrations Radio.
It is a real pleasure to be with you, Salazar.
And it's a pleasure to have you join us. Now, one of the reasons we mentioned briefly at the beginning, but we'll re-mention for the listeners, of course, we're talking today based on all the tragedy and drama that has occurred, especially as evidenced in Dallas with the shooting of the police officers. And the concern, again, if I understand correctly, always your concern, is how we both internalize this trauma and act out this trauma, and we keep this cycle of violence always ongoing. So
got it.
What, Great. Well, what would you like? I'm just going to leave it to you to let us know. What would you like us to take away from what occurred? And what would you like us as individuals to be able to do going forward to really try to turn around this cycle that we're seeing?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for giving me such an open space. There is a lot of hurting everywhere in many different communities today. The hurting actually should be in all communities. But I also think this is an extraordinary opportunity for us for real change to happen in the history of racism in America. There have been several occasions for this to happen, and we missed the boat each time. And I think this time, something in the circumstances is happening that can give us the chance to break through very, very old patterns of collective trauma, responses to collective trauma that are also dysfunctional, and how we get caught into a feedback loop, right? We somehow don't know how to have a heart that bleeds for everybody. We bleed for certain groups and certain tribes and certain colors or races or classes or whatever definitions of grouping that we have. And I think when tragedy has hit different communities that actually were in some places, in some confrontational stance between them, I think it's very, very important for all of us not to get caught up in who's right and who's wrong. If we do that, then we all lose. Really, the important thing is to see that we're all hurting and we're all victims. And if we demonize each other, we will not get out of the victimization. And as I talked about it in June with you, my favorite topic is about really reining in our emotions. And in this situation, I think it's even more key than ever. And if we rein in our emotions, then we can all come out as victors. And do we not want to come out all as victors, right? Do we not want everybody who's hurting right now to be able to find a light, a possibility, a strain of hope, a place where to go where we can see healing is possible in the future?
And I think I think there's a distinction that I know you make from your work, but I want to make here is that we know that the shooter in Dallas was somebody who was traumatized, who was hurt, who had let's say, gone a step beyond. And what I believe you're talking about is now all the rest of us suffering from the trauma of the situation, because whether we recognize it or not, hearing about it, watching it, the video, doing whatever we've done, we are all now victims of the trauma of that situation. And I believe what you're saying is we should not fall into our emotions to fight back, to retaliate, to strike out.
Right, because we're all carrying that hurt in our conversations, in our opinions, in what should be done to this one and to that one, and who's the guilty one, and how terrible that is. And yes, of course, it's tragic on all sides, for sure. And there are a lot of things that have been going on for a long time. But here is a big opportunity, I think, in front of us. And again, I think last time we talked about it briefly, being able to differentiate between healthy anger and toxic anger. And basically, if I am carrying healthy anger, and when I see something wrong, it's totally okay to be angry about it. Not only is it okay, it's going to inform my action to bring about change, right? But if I'm having healthy anger, it's going to allow me to take the correct actions to fight for my cause in effective ways. But toxic anger, on the other hand, however justified it is, it doesn't matter. It's going to lead me to demonize other people and then alienate a lot of other people from my cause. It's going to amplify the fear and mistrust on the other side, and even planting the seeds of violence in some minds, like in the mind of that man who did the shooting of the policeman. And there is a meme of violence in the world. You know, it's easy to get there right now for whatever reason. Our period is allowing individuals to just come out and do things that are irreparable. Lives are taken forever. Families are stricken forever. Communities are stricken forever. Whole sectors of society are living in fear that they're going to be the next target. I just had this workshop that I invited you to, if you remember, and one woman, one African-American, was wonderful. She said, just remember the way I want to go home at night and be safe. The police also, their plan, their goal is to go home safe at night too. That we kind of are all in the same boat at some level. And to just start looking at the complexity of the issue and not just in opposition to one party and then demonize that party and then put all the blame on that party and that's it. Not look about where it's coming from. Are they policemen in stress that are trigger happy because of it, but are afraid for their lives? Are there people really angry about how they've been mistreated and then they hold an attitude and they get upset when they're arrested and they don't follow the rules and then they get hurt for no reason, for like irreparably also, where their lives are taken and it's also forever gone. So,
and I think, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think we forget something that you touched on. And I am not defending anyone or taking any sides here. But there are certain professions where they are willing to do things that we run from. You know, a fireman goes into a burning building, we run from it. A policeman goes down a darkened alley where somebody is firing a gun. We run from it. So these professions are people who are willing to face a level of trauma or fear or issues on a regular basis. And it does affect them. There's no question about that. But at the same time, there's no reason for us to make them the target of our inability to handle our own emotional needs.
Well, they can, if they're going to be the target, they have to carry only their part and not the part for the whole of society.
Yes.
I mean, in this complexity that I'm looking at, there is not one party that doesn't have something that they can do to change the situation. And by bringing compassion to all of the parties involved, to the risk-taking of the policemen who are always endangering their lives, to be able to protect us, to serve and protect, but at times, that's not what's going to happen. They're going to be on the attack. They're going to be attacked, or they're going to see people attacking, or they're going to mistake people attacking, or whatever's going to happen, and tragedy will take place. But as somebody said, they're not waking up in the morning, like the same lady said. They're not waking up in the morning. They're having breakfast and saying, I'm going to serve today. They're not waking up in the morning saying, I'm going to go and attack somebody on purpose and kill them. So just to be understanding of that. At the same time, I want to be understanding of the suffering that's going on in the African community, in the African American community, specifically in certain areas of the cities and of the country. And when I was looking at what everybody needed to do, I was looking at the different engagement that you were saying, what should we do, all of us? Like, first of all, what each one of us can do. Let's start with that. And then what can be done collectively? And I think, for example, what each one of us is like, let's be conscious. Who are we? Are we serving what they call the trauma vortex? Are we amplifying the trauma with our conversation, with our demonization, with our, we say it in French, parti pris, I don't know how to say it in English, but like taking sides, taking clear sides and not looking at the whole picture. Or are we walking the healing vortex? Are we reaching out? Are we trying to blur the lines of differences and see what we have in common? And for this, we need to go back to whatever tools that we have that help us discharge our emotions. Because emotions are very informative of what we need to do. We live on emotions. We decide, we make decisions, we change our lives around our emotions, and they're very valuable. But if they're overly charged and if they're taking over our neocortex, our capacity to think, then they're not serving us at that moment. So we need to discharge, to release the excess emotion so that we can go back into balance and start reflecting about what we're seeing. And thank God there is so much information coming at us from everywhere. So we can, it's easy right now today to be well informed about all the issues that pertain to this problem that's going on right now for the country.
Well, please.
I was just going to say that's what we can do at the personal level, and then I'll pass after that to the collective level.
Okay, and I wanted to mention one thing that I also believe that at this moment in time, as unfortunately synchronistic as it is, but Dallas Police Chief Brown, I think, is a wonderful representative of the joining together of all of the issues.
Yes.
His own son was shot down by a policeman. He is a black man. He understands the issues of the black community. And during his time, he has reduced shootings, police shootings and homicides down to a very, very low number compared to a city that had a very high number. So in one sense, he's been able, through his experience, his compassion, and his wisdom, to represent the best of what you're asking all of us to do.
Right, right. And because he has intrinsically the capacity to be on both sides, because he's a policeman and he's also a black man. So that capacity to walk on both of those shoes at the same time, you know, made him able to carry on that task. And of course, it comes with wisdom too. Not everybody in his situation would necessarily have done the same thing. He's got also his own heroic stance and his own capacity to see and be grand. But that's the part where you see something can be done also on the police side. Okay, there is a task that the police can also look at, maybe more training, but also I would say emotional regulation for them, self-regulation, because they're constantly under stress. And now there isn't only stress, there's actually fear, because they're being targeted very clearly by bloggings and chants and songs and all kind of, and marches and stuff like that. So it's not toxic fear anymore, it's fear. But then if it's not discharged, if it's not controlled, it becomes toxic and makes you pull the trigger even when you don't have to. And then makes you pull the trigger to kill instead of just wound the person and stop them from shooting at you. So yes, there is something to be done at the level of the police force too, of law enforcement.
Well, we also want to remind folks that they could go to your website, traumainstitute.org, and also take a look at the resources that you offer. For instance, your series of books, Beyond the Trauma Vortex into the Healing Vortex. And there's you've written it for diplomats, the military, clergy, medical field, media, psychology fields, as well as everyone else. Is how do we take our own trauma? I'm sorry, yeah. How do we take our trauma and find the best way to turn that into healing, so that we don't become part of the problem, but we become part of the solution?
Exactly. Very well said. Very well said. So that's this area, right? And then I think about, okay, it's maybe time for America, and I don't know what official voice in America can do that, and maybe we have to figure out what it is. But to really validate the suffering of the African-American community in a very clear way, and show the gratitude and love for this community that has really helped develop the richness. I mean, despite them, it's not that what they wanted to do, but they were forced to do it, but they still contributed to the wealth of the country and the richness of the country, and also to the character of the country with the beautiful music and dancing that they brought and other things that they brought into the culture and the faith base and all of these wonderful characteristics. And it's time to say to them, I read a wonderful article by an African-American man, and I don't remember his name right now, but he said, all we need, just give us love. And I thought, can you imagine if we just said, hey, thank you, so sorry, so terribly sorry, and thank you, and we love you, and we're going to help you recover from your collective trauma. We're not going to be more racist against you because you have those symptoms of trauma, which includes violence, by the way, because there is violence in some of the community.
Well, and not to muddy the waters, but I do believe that there are two communities in the United States that deserve a great deal of healing. One are the Native peoples that we certainly put through some of the worst genocide, and the second is the African American community. I do believe when it comes to the African American community, there is a collective culture within the United States that has two things going on with it. They still resent the Civil War. Still resent the Civil War.
Yes. Yeah.
And the fact that they keep wanting to change the dialogue that the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery, when slavery was a very strong component of the Civil War. And secondly, there's also a collective guilt about acknowledging what in fact was said. I am astonished how many people will say, my great-great-grandfather was, slave owner, but he was good to them. And there's all of this, but how can you ever be good to someone enslaved to you, regardless of your treatment? You've made someone lesser human.
That's very true, but this is looking at that period through the eyes of today. And there are things that we're doing today that are going to be looked at through the eyes in 50 years from now that will make us absolute monsters too. So we need to understand what's happening, but I'm Jewish, right? And
yes.
I deal a lot with the Holocaust teaching, and I figured out that the way to really help people digest their part in the Holocaust, and this is all over Europe, this wasn't only the Germans, and my sense is that what we need to say, the moment you acknowledge the responsibility of your people or of your group, you immediately pass on the other side of the guilt. You immediately pass on to being transformed. And we shouldn't be afraid of acknowledging and taking that on. It will not put us down. It will take us up one notch in our sense of self and how we're looked at by others. Bringing healing into the community that has been suffering for so long by acknowledging what was done to them can only empower the people who are accepting that responsibility. It cannot hurt us.
There's an interesting piece of that in the movie Woman in Gold, where they talk about how in Austria they welcomed the Germans in. And what the woman is saying as she's trying to recover her family property is that they weren't taken over. They embraced it with open arms and then, took from the Jewish community. And there's a collective guilt. And so I appreciate you pointing out that what we have to do is acknowledge. Part of that big piece is acknowledge it and accept it and stop trying to hide it.
Yeah, it's acknowledging and loving and saying, we will help you recover from your collective trauma. It's not your task alone. It's also our task to help you with that. At the same time, I would invite the African American community to say, to their leaders, just inspire us to change from within while we're waiting for the change to come from outside. We don't have to be at the mercy. I mean, I think about the King of Spain. It took 400 years to apologize for the Inquisition. If we had been sitting there waiting for them to apologize for that, we wouldn't have gone nowhere.
I have to admit, I waited quite a while, so I was glad when they finally apologized.
Yes.
I'm sorry, that was meant to be a joke, but I think it threw you off.
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, we could wait, and we should wait, but we need to be active while we're waiting. We still own our own lives, and we can do something about it. And lots of African Americans are doing something about it. And there are some voices rising up, and those voices that are saying, come on, let's also take care of our own changes in the community. They should not be attacked. They should be respected and dignified and given a lot of space. Because we can't, the problem is that if we stay victims, we become victimizers eventually. Victimizers of our own self, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just perpetuates the trauma. It just doesn't help enough. So that's part of it. Yeah.
And I think there are many, many stories, especially with the Holocaust survivors, many people that actually have shown that they went through their forgiveness of what was done to them and didn't necessarily carry that burden inside them. And the healing came from their ability to release and heal. I think many of the African Americans, many of the Native Americans have all done a similar thing. But it's the culture around them that hasn't forgiven themselves and apologized for what was done.
Yes, because and have not apologized. Exactly. The validation has not happened yet. And so the African-American people do not feel validated. And in a way, I think it was temporary. It didn't last for very long. But there was a huge recognition of the Holocaust and the mea culpa that was done at some level, and then the existence of Israel really allowed the Jewish people to recover from their collective trauma at some level. It's not that they completely recovered, but at some level, right?
Yes.
And I think this validation needs to happen here for those both communities that you mentioned. It's very, very important, and I think it's so easy to do it. There's no complication, you know? There does not need to be a very... it's not a painful process. It's a transformative process to recognize something. And also the people who are going to recognize it now are far removed from the people who actually did it. It's just their ancestors. It's okay. And
so
I think today most of white America doesn't think that they're racist. Go ahead. You're going to say something.
No, but I think all they... Here's the hard part about white America is that white America will say that President Obama split the country. And what President Obama did is he showed the inherent racism in the country just by being president. He didn't have to do anything but show up, and the country split because of its inherent racism. And it's interesting to me that anytime we are blaming someone else for something just for being, then we need to really examine ourselves. And that's a hard thing for the human being to do in general. Some people will hear your words. Some people will go through their trauma healing using your work and resources. But so many people are so vested in just being the vestige of hate that they are.
Just so what?
Vested in being the vestige of hate that they are.
You see, I don't look at anybody like this, because mm-hmm. for me that would be also demonizing that group. I want to see what's stopping them from doing what they need to do, and I want to bring them the resources so that they can do it.
And that is your work. That is your work.
Yeah. It's like it's really looking at all of the parts in the country. I mean, I've got young Germans who said, okay, I understand what my country did, but that was my grandparents. That wasn't me. I'm not part of this anymore. And I've got here, you know, young white Americans saying, you know, I'm totally decent in the way I operate with everybody. I don't have any racism in me. I don't have any invested hatred or anything like that. And we have to understand, you know, all of these currents that are happening, and give them a language that empowers the validation of a group by a collective. It's not every single human being, unless in their own particular actions in their life, but to as a collective, to understand that the collective needs to validate another collective. That's all.
But
and when we... Yeah.
I was going to say, but when we see the opposition to Black Lives Matter by people saying all lives matter, I think that represents an inherent racism in the people who do it. I'm not saying groups. I'm not trying to refer to groups. I'm talking about individuals.
But I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure that I agree with you on that one, because I'm, okay, look at this. This is a crazy idea, okay? But what would happen if Black Lives Matter went ahead and chanted Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter? What if they just did all that chant at the same time? They're taking a stand that their lives matter, and they're correct about it, and they're sending the message, but we think that everybody else matters, including the police.
I understand,
but what we're now doing
is we're imposing on the people who are put out the responsibility for the collective. And I'm not saying that they don't feel that. I've seen many, many postings on social media from people from Black Lives Matter saying, we know all lives matter. It's just that black lives are the ones being put out in many areas. And we're trying to say that black lives should not be less than all lives.
That's true, but it's only part of the picture, too. Like, go out, and Black Lives Matter also with what's happening in the community. March for that. March for the conditions that are in your community. Don't allow those conditions. Don't just think about cops. Think about, take the whole situation. Take the whole social part. Because when you just go on to one thing, I mean, the police is paying the price for America not paying attention to the race issue enough.
Very true. So what's the next step for all of us? We have about 2 minutes to go. What's the next step? About 2 minutes to go. What's the next step for all of us that you would like us to take action on now, to take away from your talk, to do something about?
The first step, I would say, please understand it's a very complex, complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
Do not simplify it by demonizing another group, period. The second step, I would say, be compassionate and validate the suffering. That doesn't mean validating the action if the action is negative. If there are calls for violence, that's a negative action. It does not need to be validated because the suffering is real. Differentiate between the two, both in the communities at stake and the people around them, their friends and their allies. It's very important to make this differentiation. Very hurt feelings do not justify destructive acts. And people that are doing something destructive, it does not justify not to hear their pain either, just because they did those acts. We have to be able to hold the two pieces at the same time. It's
well,
the only way to get out of it today.
And you are a powerful voice for all of this. We want to remind folks, we're talking with Gina Ross, the founder and president of the International Trauma Healing Institutes in the United States and in Israel, and co-founder of the Israeli Trauma Center at Herzog Hospital in Jerusalem. And they can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com to connect over to traumainstitute.org, where they can find more of your resources and works. You've done a complete series of books, Beyond the Trauma Vortex into the Healing Vortex, and you have videos and podcasts and a variety of resources that people can use to help heal their own trauma, as well as support community healing of trauma as they go forward. We want to thank Gina for joining us today, and we will replay this show on Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. and again on Saturday. We want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio, and turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings to you. Namaste.
Gotta keep those lavender vibrations happening with her.